Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in the Gospel according to Matthew today, I selected passages that all have to do with difficult emotions. The passage about anger, passage about retaliation, passage about loving enemies. I am not by nature an argumentative person, at least I think. I never joined the debate club in school, and when a guidance counselor suggested that I might want to think about going to law school, I resisted that fiercely. But this desire not to argue, I think it goes beyond that. I think in some cases, I even have a desire to run the other way at signs of conflict, and I'm sure I'm the only person in the room who feels that way. But in my case, this desire to run away sometimes, I think that developed in the years leading up to my parents' divorce. My parents had a long-running conflict, and it was often underground, but at times the dinner table could turn into a battlefield. And I see in retrospect that their anger and their unhappiness often led them to retaliate. They wanted the other person to feel as badly as they did, and unfortunately that tended to make everyone around the dinner table unhappy. I loved both of my parents, still do, and I could see the validity of each of their points of view. My sister also, and I think it's perhaps no wonder that the two of us have turned out to be peacemakers. I think it's perhaps related that to this that I'm not a particularly political person either. Even though I did grow up in D.C. and lived in D.C. for many years, I vote, I have opinions, but I prefer not to lose friends over my opinions. And I do try to see both sides of any argument. Over time, I've learned that disagreements and debate aren't necessarily unhealthy. I've learned that thoughtful discussion can take place between people of different points of view. And I've particularly learned this from my husband, Larry, who is a very diplomatic man. And he can have deep conversations about politics with people who don't agree with him at all. And in those conversations, no one shouts. No one leaves the room. No relationship is broken. And at the end, it seems as though everyone has some new ideas and some deeper understanding of each other. And I wish this were more prevalent in our political system. A couple years ago, I would not have said that political conflict could get much worse, but it does seem to have done so. Last year, I'm going to be specific here, last year the Republicans refused to hold hearings on President Obama's Supreme Court nominations, and now this year the Democrats are retaliating by threatening filibusters and delaying tactics for President Trump's Supreme Court nomination. Kind of tit for tat there. Senators and congressmen and women of opposing parties don't know each other anymore. They don't have opportunities to learn from each other. And Republicans and Democrats seem to have become enemies. We seem to have lost the concept of the loyal opposition. And I wonder if this might be true in your own life, too. I wonder. In fact, I'm guessing that you may have some relatives of a different political party, or maybe you have neighbors who put up a political sign that you disagreed with. What happened as a result of that? I mean, have those differences gotten more sharply drawn, or are you drawing closer to them? Do you avoid these people that you disagree with? Do you run away from potential conflict, as I would like to? Do you talk bitterly about the actions of the Democrats or the Republicans in Congress, assuming that everyone around you agrees with you? Do you view people who have another point of view as the enemy? Church, this has got to stop. Our nation has got to learn to live together, and we are the ones to model it. We are the ones called by Jesus to a different way. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught his disciples about becoming a community of transformation, a community that shows what God's kingdom is like. And he started with some common wisdom, some ethical standards that everybody knew, standards like you shall not murder, an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Everybody knew those things. Everybody accepted those standards. And Jesus takes them a step further. He says, it's not enough just to refrain from killing somebody. We've got to keep from feeding the anger in ourselves. We've got to keep from nurturing those angry, broken relationships by insulting people with our words. If you call the president incompetent, or if you call a news reporter a liar just because you disagree with them, you are liable to judgment, says Jesus. So learn to control your tongue. And what's more, learn to control your attitude. We are to seek reconciliation with those that we have hurt, as well as with those who have hurt us. Even, Jesus suggests, leave worship and go out and be reconciled with them, make peace with them, restore the relationship, restore the breaches in the community. So if you get up and go now, I'll know why you're going. And it's not enough to just be proportionate in any retaliation that you might make against another person. The law of God, the Torah, was designed to originally keep this cycle of violence from escalating and from people killing 10 people when one of their own was killed. No, the law said that any retaliation had to be in proportion to the original offense. So someone knocks out one of your teeth, you can go knock out another one of theirs instead of their whole set of teeth. And we might say, that's what's going on now. One Supreme Court justice for another Supreme Court justice. But Jesus says, even this is too much. Do not resist an evildoer, he says. Give them peaceably what they would take. Even give them more. Don't retaliate. Don't perpetuate violence and anger at all. And Jesus also says, loving only your neighbors, loving only those who agree with you, that's not enough. You shall love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Are we doing this? If you have come to regard Republicans or Democrats as the enemy, are you praying for them? Are you seeking to love them? Love. Prayer. Reconciliation. This is an image of what a healthy community looks like. This is an image of what a healthy world looks like. And we, the church, we are responsible for showing Jesus Christ to the world. We show those who haven't met him what he is like. And so we've got a really big incentive to live up to his standard, to be sure that the image we show the world is what he is like, and not what our broken selves are like. We can't just rest on our natural inclinations, which might lead us to give in to those difficult emotions of anger, retaliation, hatred. We may be, in fact, infants in the faith, as Paul says about those Corinthians who were always quarreling about something or another. We may be infants, but we are called to grow up. We're called to a Christian maturity, called to work for the good of the community and the whole world. And so that's the question before us. How are we going to respond to that call? Will we respond as infants with continued divisions and quarrels and anger? Or will we respond as those who are mature in Christ? not only refraining from murder, but refraining from giving in to our anger. Jesus calls us to live differently from the world around us. And our earthly relationships matter to God. How we treat other people, brothers and sisters, neighbors, friends and enemies, that matters more than our personal piety, than our worship even. There's a Buddhist monk named Thich Nhat Hanh who is Vietnamese, and he was very active in the peace process during the Vietnamese War. And he says that anger is rooted in our lack of understanding of ourselves. Lack of understanding of ourselves. We don't even know who we are, let alone the other people. And so he goes on to say that in order to achieve reconciliation, we have to understand both sides. We have to understand ourselves and the other as well. He says, true love is made up of understanding. What a simple place to start. And yet, not easy. Following Jesus' commandments is not easy. It requires a lot more than just running away from conflict. Following Jesus' commandments requires reaching out to those with whom we are estranged. It requires prayer. It requires active love. On Thursday, I attended a presentation by Pastor Angelica of the Presbyterian Church of Colombia, South America, and she talked about the 50 years of conflict that has devastated her country. And apparently over 200,000 Colombians have been killed in this conflict. I have to confess that this is something that has just been on the very margins of my attention. I could not have told you that there had been conflict for 50 years there. But she describes this as a civil war, a conflict in which there has been corruption on the part of government officials. There's been great power among drug cartels, and that there have been extreme differences between the haves and the have-nots, and that all these things have played a role in keeping the violence going for 50 years. Then she went on to discuss the peace accords, which were signed this past fall. No peace accord is going to be perfect, Pastor Angelica said, and that both sides of this conflict have self-centered motives, because nothing is perfect except God. And if we wait for peace until we are all perfect in our motives, nothing is going to happen. And she says that in the 5 months since the peace accords were signed, and at that same time, a ceasefire went into effect. In the 5 months, only 6 people have died as a result of this conflict. That's, of course, 6 deaths, 6 people who are being mourned. But without this ceasefire, without this peace accord, 10,000 deaths were expected based on previous death tolls. That is 10,000 lives saved. And so Pastor Angelica urges all Presbyterians to pray for continued peace in Colombia, a peace that diffuses anger, that leads to true reconciliation, that leads to love of enemies. Martin Luther King said that through violence you may murder a murderer, but you can't murder murder itself. Through violence you may murder a liar, but you can't establish truth. Through violence, you may murder a hater, but you can't murder hate. Darkness cannot put out darkness. Only light can do that. Anger is a difficult emotion. It can overwhelm us. It can make us want to attack others. It can make us want to run away. And in a family, that can lead to broken relationships, can lead to divorce, can lead to grandparents who don't know their grandchildren, can lead to economic hardships for children. And in a country, anger can lead to political obstructionism. Anger can lead to 50 years of war. We have the choice. We can be part of the anger and the retaliation, or we can be part of bringing reconciliation and peace. Presbyterian churches in Colombia were part of the peace effort, and as a result, some Colombian Presbyterian pastors received death threats from paramilitary groups, but they worked for peace anyway. Jesus says, be reconciled with your brother or sister, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you. This is a hard command. It may be the hardest of all, but do it anyway. Love, pray, be reconciled, and work for peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.